Thanks for joining us. Going today for the first time to the 40th verse in the 5th chapter, 1st canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a verse that I chant every morning as part of the invocation. Please, therefore, describe the Almighty Lord's activities, which you have learned by your vast knowledge of the Vedas, for that will satisfy the hankerings of great learned men, and at the same time mitigate the miseries of the masses of common people who are always suffering from material pangs. Indeed, there is no other way to get out of such. Now, Narada Muni himself was not a scholar. He was not a big brain, PhD, MA. He was a illegitimate son of a maidservant. He didn't even know who his father was. His mother died when he was only 5 years old. He was left alone, abandoned, without any parentage, without any natural protectors. And yet, Namami Antasya Hata Tapapanan Guyani Padani Gampariyatam Shishamana Kadim Pradikshan Bhimana Vimatsaraham. After his mother had passed away and the rainy season ended, sages who had been sojourning for 4 months in this particular ashram then themselves moved on and moved away. Narada Muni himself, as a 5-year-old orphan boy, decided to travel the world. Now, he picked up the practice of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, from the great saints and sages. Well, that was his practice. He incessantly chanted the holy names of the Lord as he wandered along. There was a little 5-year-old boy out in the world. Honestly, what chance does a 5-year-old boy have, like in New York City or Calcutta or in the jungles of Burma, Thailand, Malaysia, India? And yet, because he was chanting the names of the Lord afforded his protection. To those who take complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord surrounds him with the shield of protection. He's their tower. He's their bulwark. He's their armor, kavacha, so to speak. Although he had no resources himself, the 5-year-old boy was able to wander throughout the world. There's a huge industry of survivalism. I'm sure you're all aware of it. I'm sure you get advertisements on Instagram and Facebook for food storage supplies, for flashlight batteries, for generators when the power goes out. There's a whole tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars spent on backup plans for when the lights go out, or when there's no water, or when the food supply is disrupted. And guns, that's another big part of it, is having your own arsenal. Keep from sharing your food with other people. And yet, here's a 5-year-old boy who didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have a penny in the bank. He didn't have a gun. He didn't have freeze-dried backpack on his back with meals that last for 25 years. We create so much trouble for ourselves. First, we have a godless society. We're in harsh competition with each other individually and collectively, as nations, as families, as states, as countries. And we create all this unnecessarily huge arrangement for our own comfort and living high on the hog. And it brings with it so many complications, so many anxieties, so much stress. We have one problem, we try to counteract it with something else, and that solution is worse than the original problem, and we have to counteract that and counteract that. It's like the worm. He spins out these filaments from his abdomen, and then the filaments, threads, end up wrapping themselves around him, and he becomes bound hand and foot by our organization, trying to provide more and more comfort and more affluence. We create for ourselves an extremely precarious, huge infrastructure, which is very delicately poised and could come crashing down at any time. And then we have to spend our hard-earned money for Plan B, for a bunker in case of nuclear war, for 1 year of food storage, for guns to protect all of that, batteries and power and water purifiers, all these things for what we know is going to happen eventually when the godless society comes crashing down. And yet here's a 5-year-old boy. None of that. Doesn't have a credit card. Doesn't have any plastic. Don't leave home without it. Well, he left home without, he didn't even have a home to leave. He didn't have a, what was an American Express card. He didn't have a driver's license. Didn't have a car. Didn't have a motor scooter. Didn't have a skateboard. Didn't have an electric bike. Didn't have a passport. Didn't have a, going all over the world without any visas. He had nothing but the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he was able to travel without being harassed, without being threatened, without being injured all over the world at that time. Although he had none of those other amenities, he had the protection of the Almighty Father, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Makchita Sabadugan Tatpasharam Tajidaham Sharam Shokta Vyasi Vanakshati. One who takes shelter of me, Makchita, Makchita, one who is always thinking of me, and what better way to think of the Lord than to have his names falling off the tip of your tongue. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. You have different senses, speaking, hearing, seeing, touching, smelling. But by the simple expediency of chanting the holy name of the Lord, your speaking is engaged, your hearing is engaged, your mind, which is considered to be the sixth sense, is engaged. You can smell the incense that's offered to the Lord, the flowers. You can look at a picture of the Lord, and all of your senses are locked in. Yato, yato, nishadani, manishtanchana, chashachodhyamya, admiyamvishamiram. The senses are so fragile and easily influenced that any one of the senses, you smell something, you hear some music, or you see a beautiful form, immediately your mind is dragged here and there, just like a boat without any anchor. But when you're engaging your senses, chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, your mind, it's not to say that it doesn't wander, but the practice, the engagement of the senses, through mantra meditation, audibly saying the name of the Lord, brings the mind back. Yato, yato, nachalati, chanchalish manachach, tadasti yomya, admiyavisham, comes back, it wanders, it comes back, it wanders, it comes back. And then eventually, yata dipo nivatishto nengatesha bhava, yato yashachachata, yunjato admanamara. Finally, the mind ceases to wander by constant practice and determination. The mind stops wandering, and one enters into a deep trance called samadhi. One's consciousness in that state is compared to a lamp in a windless place. The mind no longer deviates from the lotus feet of the Lord. Narada Muni took shelter of the Lord, associated with the Lord by chanting his holy names. His mind was totally focused and absorbed in the Lord, and the Lord, for his part, is absorbed in his devotees. For those who surrender to the Lord surrenders to the devotees. For those who seek the protection of the Lord never denies that. He never refuses the protection of those who throw themselves at his lotus feet. That's why a 5-year-old boy, Dhruva Maharaj, was able to wander unscathed all over the world. That's why, in spite of his father attempting to murder him in multiple different ways, Prahlad Maharaj was untouched, unscathed. Not only did Prahlad Maharaj not get killed, but his father ended up getting killed. This verse says that the practice of chanting Hare Krishna is for everybody. Narada Muni wasn't a big scholar. He wasn't a big yogi. He had no qualifications. He had no assets that we can identify, except he had faith. He took shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. So anybody who's willing to take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, doesn't matter what qualifications they have or talents or abilities they have or they don't have. Krishna says, yoga sama bahamiham. He preserves whatever it is he's originally embedded in you, and then he carries what you lack. No other asset is required than faith that the Lord is always in his throne. He's always got me in the palm of his hands. Even what is meant for my harm, the Lord knows how to turn that to my advantage. Therefore, for every class of men, the good and the bad, it's recommended that anybody who's willing to associate with the Lord by taking prasadam, consecrated food offered to him, chanting his holy names, they will be, Prabhupada says this, corrigible up to the standard of perfection. We hardly ever hear this word corrigible. When I first read it, 50 years ago, in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I thought, I've never actually read that word. We heard incorrigible. This is Kali Yuga. Incorrigible is the applicable word. The whole population is pretty much incorrigible, like Jagaya Madai, drunkards, woman chasers, senses out of control. We're all incorrigible. But we've all seen and heard the word incorrigible, but where have we heard the word without the in front of it? Incorrigible means they cannot be helped. They will not allow themselves to be helped. But corrigible means you can be helped up to the standard of perfection if your heart is open. Anybody, doesn't matter. You don't have to have had any qualifications. Even your history may be a history of bad decisions, like Jagaya Madai. Still, powerful sunbeam, light, chanting Hare Krishna into the courtyard of your heart, it will banish all the darkness, all the Kachid Kevala Bhakta Vasudeva Agamnupti Niharamiva Bhashka, just like that. Even the pre-sun, even before the sun itself appears over the horizon, even the pre-dawn hours have the effect of lightening things up. Those things of which you were rightly afraid during the middle of the night, snakes, thieves wandering about, and ghosts, even with the pre-dawn light, then all those fears and all those anxieties go away. So it is said, Anarta Vashamamsha Jadbhatiya Logajana Chakrasapirisamanam. There are all kinds of anxieties, stresses, and fears that come to us in the darkness of midnight. But as soon as we begin to chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, all that unnecessary fear starts to dissipate, just like the pre-dawn hours dissipate the darkness and fears in the middle of the night. It's explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Namam Diskriniramana Prabhadite Maya Paripramash Ashuramam Mavshitam. There are four types of bad men. There are those who otherwise have merit, have intelligence. They misuse their merit and their intelligence to promote themselves, push themselves up by stepping on the head of others, to take more than what is set aside as their quota out of greed. In other words, they use their God-given talents to promote themselves instead of in order to grow their God. And then there are those who are just low-class men addicted to intoxication, meat-eating, illicit sex, and gift. Maya paritamaha garam. Those who are otherwise intelligent but whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. They cannot see the forest for the trees. They're so engaged in studying the minutiae of God's creation that they fail to see the Almighty Lord as the in his invisible form, pervading and supporting everything. And then finally, Asurambhama Ashita, those who are of the outright nature of demons. Those who are meritorious but who have misused their merit. Those who are just addicted to all kinds of bad habits, those who have God-given intelligence, but whose intelligence is misused to decry God, and those who are in the outright nature of demons. Who's a demon? It's a guy with little horns and a pitchfork and a tail. Basically, a demon is someone who enjoys the suffering of others. A demon, and I think you'll agree with me, is not so outrageous as it first sounds. You know, when you talk about demons, you think immediately your reaction is, demons? Come on, get with it. We don't talk about demons in this day and age. Kirtananda once in the early days said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'm not so sure about this talk of demons. Prabhupada said, if you do not acknowledge that there are demons, you'll never become Krishna conscious. What is demoniac mentality? Demoniac mentality is you take pleasure in others' suffering. But even such a person, by association with devotees of the Lord and chanting holy name, can be rectified up to the standard. If you go last week, we talked extensively about Magrari the Hunter. Magrari the Hunter was a sadist. He enjoyed inflicting pain and torturing the innocent animals with his bow and arrow. However, when he benefited from the association of Narada Muni, and especially when he said to Narada Muni, whatever you say, I will do. When there was that little sliver of an opening in his heart, and Narada Muni penetrated the heart. Narada Muni told him, chant the holy name of the Lord. Break your bow and throw it in the river. Extend and stretch your faith in favor of the Lord. If you seek protection of the Lord will not deny you. Just like Narada Muni, no assets to start with. He started life with nothing. Well, Magrari had something, and it was his bow and arrow, and he'd been taught to use it by his father and his grandfather. It was his means of living. And yet Narada Muni said, you don't need it. Your bow and arrow is not your provider. We're saying to you, stock market is not your provider. Your boss is not your provider. Your company is not your provider. The economy is not your provider. Politicians are not your provider. Krishna or God is your provider. If you do nothing more than chant the holy names of the Lord, seek his protection in great faith and devotion. And you don't need guns. You don't need a huge room with food storage. You don't need water purification. Of course, it doesn't hurt to have all that because we are in the Kali Yuga and things are going south. If anybody should have a contingency plan, it's the devotees, because preaching has to go on at all costs. But this is not where we look for our protection and for our safety. We look to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari. So even though Megrahi was living a totally condemned life, his future was totally dark, pitch black, still some other recognized his savior, the person of Narada Muni. Whatever you say, I'll do. And when Narada Muni told him to take that leap of faith, break his bow and throw it in the river, he went ahead and did it. Whatever reservations, hesitations, or scruples he had, he put them aside, took that step of faith. And as a result, he became a great saint. We talk about him thousands of years later. We don't talk about him as a bloodthirsty sadist. We talk about him as a pure devotee of the Lord. After some time, Narada came back with his friend Parvat Muni to visit Megrahi, and Megrahi was loath to even step on an ant at that time. I forget whether it was Narada or Parvat Muni who marveled, Ete nahi adbhutabhi atabhi himself, haro bhakta paritashe, natishu parihapa. Isn't it amazing that this formerly bloodthirsty, sadistic hunter who was condemned to hellish life for millions and millions of births, simply on the strength of his becoming a devotee, all good qualities have manifested themselves in his body. So this indicates that devotional service is all that we need. Faith in the Lord is all that we need. We don't have to be big scholars. We don't have to be yogis or ascetics or renunciates. Because when you become a devotee, knowledge and detachment come by automatically. When you're under the protection of the Lord blesses you, endows you with everything that you need. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Janayati Yashvayagaram Gyanam Chayara Haidukam. By the practice of Bhakti Yoga, there's no separate endeavor needed to acquire knowledge. There's no separate endeavor needed to become detached. Narada Muni is advising Vyasadeva to dedicate himself to broadcasting the knowledge of Bhakti Yoga. Narada is offering that advice to Vyasadeva and presenting himself as a witness, presenting himself as the best testimony of the efficacy of practicing Bhakti Yoga. Even the worst type of men like Jagaya Madai and Megrahi, we see through scriptures, are corrigible up to the highest standard of perfection on the strength of Bhakti Yoga. It's not that you have to have any pre-qualifications. Anybody, even the worst type of people, can benefit. Akarma, sarvakama, mokshakamati, tibirena, bhaktim, yajitam, purushottam. Those who are akarma, certainly, the liberated souls who have no material desires, you expect them to be chanting Hare Krishna. But then sarvakama, those who are full, riddled, permeated by material desires, they're also recommended to chant because the chanting is so powerful, it will destroy those desires just like the rising sun destroys the fog. Akarma, sarvakama, mokshakama, then those who are, they're not concerned with the well-being of people in general, but they only want their own liberation. They're also recommended to chant because their hearts will melt in compassion once they taste the nectar of chanting Hare Krishna. They won't want to keep it to themselves. Just like honey, nature of honey is that when you spill it, it spreads. Nobody who's diligently and attentively chanting Hare Krishna and thereby feeling the nectar of the holy names is ever going to be insensitive to the suffering of others. Devotees, the more they become enlightened, the more they taste the nectar of the names of the Lord, the more they try to help out others. Nevojide parada racha vaitara tadbirya mahamanita signa so chayatato vimaktit maya sukaya barambane. The more I taste the nectar, chanting the holy names of the Lord, the more I submerge in the ocean of devotion, Prahlad Maharaj says, the more compassion I feel for those who are pursuing false happiness and suffering repeated birth and death in this material world. Chanting and devotional service benefits the bad men, and it also benefits the good men, of which there are, again, four types. Just as there are four types of bad men, there are four types of good men. They have an affinity for devotional service. Prabhupada gave the example. You throw a spark on wet grass, it will generally extinguish. There is a chance that it may catch, but pretty much 99.9% of the time, it will extinguish. If you throw a spark on moist grass, it may extinguish, it may catch. If you throw the spark on dry grass, it will always ignite. These four type of men, they're either moist or dry. The four type of bad men are either moist or wet. But these four type of men are either moist or dry. Four types of men who worship me. Arto, those who need money. They're down and out. And they recognize that the Lord is Aishwarya. He's the most wealthy. From him comes all opulence. They put a dollar in the collection plate hoping to get $100 back. And their hopes are not fruitless. If you want material things, the Lord will give you material things. If you're unfortunate enough to approach the Lord as a businessman offering to trade what you have for something in return from the Lord, then he'll certainly give you that. But you'll deny yourself devotional service. However, in the process of worshiping the Lord for material things, many, 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 many persons have become purified. And so by all means, even if you want money, go ahead and go to the Lord and not elsewhere for that money. Then there are those people who are basically pious, but they come to the temple, the church, the mosque, the center, with their shopping list, basically prostitute themselves before the Lord in order to get material things. And then there are those who are distressed. They're just having a hard, rough time. And they look to the Lord for the rectification, for the vindication, for the restoration. Then there are those who are inquisitive. There are those who are open. They have inquisitive minds. They see the devotees chanting on the street, and they get a Back to Godhead magazine, they attend a festival, a Rath Yatra festival, a color festival. And that's moist grass that ignites their passion for understanding the absolute truth. We all want knowledge. We all want to know what is what. But we're not necessarily equipped intellectually, nor do we have the time to comb through all the scriptures from various cultures, various times and places, to come up with the set on the essence. And when we're presented with the opportunity to chant the holy names of the Lord and associate with people who are further along than we are, the inquisitive person is likely to take us up on that. And then finally, Gyanacha, but it are those who are in knowledge. And these are the ones who are like dry grass. Every once in a while, it's not often, you just see someone take to devotional service like a fish to water. I've told this story previous times. Most of you who are devotees know Madhavananda. He's based in Orissa, disciple of Gaura Govinda Maharaj. Amazing scholar, steeped in Vaishnavism. He quotes from books, the books I've never heard of, what to speak of the quote. And such a humble, sincere, sweet soul. I can take credit for having hooked him up to devotional service, probably in 1981. We were doing a festival of India throughout the Southwest, and we happened to be at the University of Arizona, Tucson. We were there for a Tuesday and Wednesday. We set up with a prasadam booth. We had exhibits, and we had a little boutique where we sold kurtas and yoga pants and all. And when we first arrived there, this young man, he wasn't a student, but he was on campus. I think he was living out in the mountains somewhere in a cave. And he spent time with us. He took prasadam. He asked questions. He took some books. And when it came time, festival was over, and it was time to take everything down and pack it in the truck. We got in the trucks, and he was standing there. We had two rider trucks. Madhua says, he says, "Are you coming?" So he was standing there, and he'd obviously gotten so much inspiration and direction from associating with the devotees for 2 days, reading the exhibits, asking and getting his questions answered, that he was standing there, but you could almost hear his mind, the wheels churning. Should I go? Shouldn't I go? Should I go? Shouldn't I go? Madhua tipped the scales in favor of his going by saying, "Get in. Aren't you coming?" And he just got in the truck, and he became a devotee. And now he's one of the greatest luminaries on the surface of the earth. This is someone who is more or less in knowledge, realizes before having met devotees that there's no other purpose in life than pursuing the absolute truth. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? And so when you come with devotees, it's like throwing a spark in dry grass. That fixed determination is the prerequisite for success. Such a person will take the devotional service like a fish to water. Time is about up for Tuesday, but let me quote this next verse, and we'll start at this point tomorrow. This is from the 7th chapter, the 1st canto, 8th verse. Anarto pashavam shakshad bhakti yoga rokshana logasiracharavim chakri satpada samitam. Anartas are things which are impediments on the path of devotional service. They're unwanted elements in our lives. Certainly illicit sex, smoking, intoxication are unwanted. There are other things which take the form of profit, adoration, and distinction, which are subtle forms of sex desire. We're going to talk about those unwanted, external, superfluous items, entities in our life, which can easily be removed by devotional service. They're not so easy to be removed by practice of mental speculation or yoga or austerities, but by the blissful, natural, constitutional process of serving the Lord in the association of devotees, these unwanted things are easily removed. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore, according to the promptings of his guru Vyasadeva, the great sage, literary incarnation of God, compiled the Vedic literature, which is in relation to the absolute truths. Conclusion, the summation of the Vedic literature is that when you satisfy the Lord is going to give you everything you need to navigate the dangerous waters of this material world, and particularly the Kali Yuga, and bring you safely to the other side, back to home, back to Godhead, where life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.